Hello, my precious radio listeners, and welcome to a very special episode of Sex Talk, sponsored by the Ajax Corporation. Tonight, our topic is haptic interfaces. What? Haptic?
I forgot already. Our topic is the future of human-robot sexuality, but we happen to have two particularly intriguing angles on that topic tonight.
But first, I'd like to talk about Ajax. You know, people think that Comet – I mean, you probably, when I walked in here and I smelled like cleaning fluid or cleaning materials, you probably thought that was just the stench of the steam room.
I thought you smelled like embalming material, actually. Was I wrong?
In fact, I was scrubbing my bathtub tonight, and, you know, Ajax really does work 14% better than Comet. So I would like to hereby declare that Ajax is the official cleaning powder of Sex Talk. But I digress.
let it be. So be it.
Our three special guests tonight are Smooth A, Sonia, and Dr. J.K. Astacular. I'm not doing very well for
Mr. Knoxville, I believe.
Mr. Knoxville. As you alluded to earlier, I mean, you know, the thing with Ajax has little sort of tiny scrubbing particles.
Now, don't say scrubbing bubbles because you'll get sued.
That, you know, sometime before I totally succumb of like whatever consumptive disease I have, I would like one sponsor to actually come through and like give us like $500 so we can go on a road trip to Vegas and see some horrors. But
can we see horrors in Pittsburgh?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, in the same way that, like, computer scientists come to Carnegie Mellon to, like, pursue their craft here at one of the nation's most finest verified institutions, I think horrors go to Vegas, because that's where you can really...
Is that the horror mecca, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody can, like, blow a cop down at the piers, but if you really want to, like, take in, like, the top... Because, like,
I mean... not just anybody. I doubt Dick Cheney could.
I mean, with a couple days of training.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, I mean...
I'm not sure the cops would cooperate. But, yeah, I mean, Las Vegas, you know, as McDonald's has its Hamburger University, right?
Exactly.
Las Vegas has the Whore Academy.
And, you know, I mean, as every woman of the evening knows, and you know, we respect that profession here in Sex Talk quite a bit, what your job is to have the pretty woman scenario, to, like, be a prostitute for, like, 10 or 15 years, and then before your flower completely fades, latch on to an attractive man who loves you for who you really are. Attractive rich man.
Sounds like grad school.
I don't think prostitutes are quite as bitter and angry as grad students, though.
You know, I'd like to point out that as, you know, as many forms of mechanized labor were inevitably eliminated by the march of progress and industrialization, so too will sex workers probably be eliminated by robotic counterparts. And as anyone who's listened to the show knows, this show loves two things. It loves robots and computers and sex. Probably not in that order. Hopefully not in that order.
Sweaty frat boys?
That's a subset of...
Robots.
And so there's no topic dearer to our heart than the future of sex and technology. And tonight we're here to talk about what the building blocks are to build sort of interactive sex robots, whatever. And in particular, we have two experts in each of two key areas that need to be developed to sort of bring this technology to fruition. Right?
Sure. Which are the two fields?
Well, the two fields are haptic interfaces, which people...
Touchy-feely interfaces.
Yeah, interfaces that give sort of tactile response. Although, perhaps, Sonia, you could give us a better definition.
Let's see. Yeah, a haptic robot, it's a force feedback robot. It can model... forces to the hand, generally speaking, although that's not necessarily the only way that you could theoretically design one of those devices.
So we're used to our computers just sitting there like lumps on a desk, but if we want our computers to massage us or, for example, feel like firm, supple breasts, we're going to have to go to haptic technology to make that happen.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you have to.
The other field is that of human social robot interaction, because although for our listeners, sex is probably a joyless mechanical exercise, for most humans, it's a deep spiritual and social connection. And so Smooth A is here to talk a little bit about what the state of the art is in human-robot social interaction and where we can go from there, right?
Yep.
Okay. Why don't we start out with the touchy-feely hapticness, because that sounds more sexual to me right now.
Well, I just – did you work on the male version of the Real Doll? I was just watching HBO last night, and there's a male Real Doll.
Oh, there is now?
Yeah, and they were, you know what that, you know what the real doll is,
we
of course.
Know, yeah, yeah,
but
we've been.
You know, they've constantly said, if you ever go to their website and look up the male version, they say, you know, we don't have one yet. But they were, this is on that HBO Real Sex show, and they had, it had interchangeable penises. And I was wondering if you could, whatever you're about to talk about, if you could work in the concept of modular interchangeable penises, that would really help me.
Were they just like small, medium, large, extra large?
Well, you know, yeah, they started out like sort of floppy and sort of convincingly, you know.
Flaccid.
And then you could pop that out, which actually caused, you know, every male viewer in America to, like, cringe. And then you could pop in a totally, like, turgid, rock-hard, you know.
You mean the doll itself can't go from limp to turgid? That seems like a clear design flaw to me.
I know. You'd think at least, like, a trusty little hand pump could have been included.
Yeah. Hydraulics. Some sort of crank.
Or maybe, like, muscle wire.
Yeah.
That's for version two, I guess. I mean, you know, maybe. Well, I think you should hand that question not to me, but to our haptic expert, Susan A. Allen.
Sonia. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, let's see. I guess one of the questions, one of the fundamental questions that I would have is if you're going to kind of imbue a real doll with haptics, where are you going to get the most for your money? Like, because my feeling is you're not going to necessarily want to have a force feedback. Well, where do you want to have force feedback? Like, what do you want to have a force feedback penis, a penis that can actuate itself? I don't know. I'm a little confused as to how to actually kind of make that.
My vote
you're
goes.
Suggesting that haptics.
My vote goes for an actuated small of the back instead of the penis.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
wouldn't require many degrees of freedom.
Yeah, what you want.
So but clearly, this question of where does the bang for the buck go? Like, there's essentially genitals, hands, mouth.
What you'd really want to be able to develop is something that could stimulate your genitals, which would be more like a hand, really, right? I mean, it wouldn't. Yeah,
well,
I mean,
I can get that home though. I mean, you know, I think. I mean, you're asking me. Well, so if it's a female real doll, it's obviously, you know, the three big orifices. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, do I have to say it? The mouth, the anus, and the vagina have to be, like, totally electrotastic.
Well, do they? I mean, do we actually require much flexing, much action, much motion in, say, for example, the vagina during sex? it's not like the human hand, certainly with, say, 27 individual degrees of freedom, all of which are actuated and so forth.
Well,
right?
It depends. I mean, I was at this, like, geisha bar in Tokyo, and believe me, that was
plenty of degrees of freedom in those vaginas. Exactly. Is that what you're getting?
It was like the, you know, the 50 hands of Emperor.
Well, this raises an answer question, which is, you know, what is normal for humans to experience when they're having sex with them, and what would we want to do if all of a sudden we could add 382 degrees of freedom to in an area the size of a penis, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I guess I think it also addresses the fact that probably in the sex of the future, you want to think not only about the actuation on the part of the real doll, but you may want to think about what the interface is to you. We were talking earlier about different ways that maybe you could, like, actually augment the sensation that you already get from your current genitals, or that potentially the interfaces that you want to look at are not necessarily going to be, like, touching your genitals per se, but they might actually directly interface with your spine or
Just consider that, you know, our interface with computers and therefore with other people, you know, is not done through a fake mouth and eyes, right? It's done through a keyboard. It's not even done through a fake pen and paper. It's done through a completely different sensory input-output combination than we're used to, which in some ways is superior. So similarly, as Sonia says, like, why restrict ourselves to this, just a reproduction of human anatomy when, you know, that's just kind of an accident of evolution and biology that we're...
Well, I think there's two questions here. One that was raised was the idea of actual direct sort of nerve stimulation and direct brain stimulation, right? Whereas if you could sort of cut out the middleman of all this pulpy meat and go directly for the happy nerves in the brain, you'd be a very happy person. And that's been a trope in science fiction for a long time. I mean, probably the canonical example of it is Neuromancer and sort of all these science fiction virtual reality worlds where you can do everything, including, you know, fully featured sex. It's all taking place through a feedback loop in your head.
Right.
The other thing that are particularly interesting is that computer interfaces are an interesting thing because they don't duplicate our interfaces with humanity, but they still use familiar metaphors like, you know, pointing, windows, that sort of thing. So it makes the suggestion that, you know, our, the sexual interface of some sort of robot, you know, won't be the standard way we deal with humans, but instead, based on some sort of loose metaphor involving, say, umbrellas and extremely long 2x4s, is just dripping with comic potential.
To address your first point, we discussed a little bit earlier. I don't remember the details, unfortunately. I'm sure dedicated nerds could find them on the web. But about a year ago, these doctors who were doing research on chronic pain management in England, I believe it was with women who are suffering from MS or some other degenerative nerve disorder, which leave people in kind of a semi-constant state of pain, they discovered, like, some spot in the spine, like between two vertebrae and a particular nerve, that when a small electrical current is passed through, these women had orgasms. And they discovered this, like, you had the story, Smoove A, right?
That,
like,
oh, yeah, that they realized something was a little different because they were asking if it was successfully blocking the pain, and the woman said, no, it's not, but she still wouldn't let her doctor remove
right
device.
So like when I read this, I could feel somebody, you know, a goose walking over my grave, as it were. Yeah. Like, I realized this is the end, not only of men, but of the entire human race. Like, once we can just plug our spines into the wall socket and, like, squirt, squirt, squirt our days away.
So I'm curious, what would happen if they applied this current to a woman for, say, like 48 straight hours? Would she emerge, like, broken, tired, and sweaty?
Or I
would
smell NFS Grant.
Oh.
And SF.
Yeah, indeed. I think the reason that we may not fall into that particular trap is that I think people frequently turn to sex and masturbation when they're lonely, when they feel like they need company. And, just a little button isn't going to provide you with that sense of community and well-being.
But a social robot would.
Yeah. Well, to go back to this, your claim is that people turn to masturbation when they're lonely?
That was my particular claim, don't you?
Well, I do, but I'd be just as happy to press a button as I mean, it's not the delicate dance between my hand and genitalia that's really doing it.
How do you know that it's not that sort of grounding experience, that it's not, you know, it's not getting you in tune with your body for those few moments, as opposed to just pressing a little button and letting go?
It could be, but there's only one way to find out.
I think there's room for both was the only point I was trying to make. Both.
I don't know, you could just hang out online, like chat with your AIM buddies. While you're pressing the button, you get community and you get the orgasms, and nobody has to sleep in the wet spot.
Like, you could even rig it up so that every time one of your AIM buddies accidentally uttered the word "the," right?
Right.
The button
boom. Get
pressed automatically.
Exactly.
And then you could, you know, lure them into situations where the use of, determinants and nouns was really, really skewed in your favor.
Yeah.
Just to say, I do think that, like, the possibility of constant, repetitive, multiple male orgasms without refractory periods might very well end all human progress as we know it. I mean, I think it is indeed the refractory period that has saved us thus far, at least from the, you know, I mean, from the male point of view. I mean, women already have this power, so maybe that's why. Do you think that's why there's a male-female sort of salary parity problem, because they have more orgasms and are, like, working less hard because of it? I'm just a sociological
It's interesting.
Thought.
I know it's always a barrier I've struggled to overcome.
Well, with that statistic we're reading today, that, like, men on average spend 1.5% of their working years out of work, where women spend on average 14% of their working years out of work. Maybe that extra 13% is, like, nonstop teeth clenching,
washing machine,
washing machine,
scrubbing the brush.
Exactly, knuckle clenching orgasms.
Well, I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves when it comes to talking about haptic interfaces. I personally am curious to know. I mean, we can fantasize the future all we want, but I'm curious to know sort of what can be done today, right? I think it would be great if you could step us through a little bit what sorts of devices exist today, and then maybe we can talk about how we're going to extend them into our future of doomed humanity doomed to eternal sexual pleasure.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about this just a little bit ago. I think one of the issues that haptic robots have to deal with or have to address is they really have to kind of have the level of detail or supply the level of detail that a human being is capable of, perceiving. And so different parts of the human body are sensitive in different kinds of ways, and meaning that the resolution of detail that you can feel with different parts of your bodies is going to differ from spot to spot, you know?
Indeed.
So, for instance, with your finger, if you put, like, a kind of a little
pinpoint on your finger. You mm-hmm. can you can differentiate between two pinpoints on your finger that are about a millimeter apart.
Okay.
And it's actually the resolution of your hand is even greater than that when you're rubbing across a surface.
Yeah.
So at any rate, right now, like most haptic robots, don't supply the level of detail that the human being is like capable of perceiving.
Okay. Let's step back for a second. Physiologically, that's determined by how close our nerves are placed.
Yeah.
In the skin,
it's
right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. The skin receptors in your okay. finger, that's what I'm kind of thinking of, yeah. So at any rate, there's some robots that are capable of modeling surfaces with, like, a resolution of detail that almost mimics what the human resolution okay. Capability of perception is. And there's an example of that is there's a robot here that's been designed by a group with Ralph Hollis and the Robotics Institute.
Okay. And I'm sure he'll be glad to be mentioned in this conference.
Yeah, well, it's a great robot, you know. I mean, a student actually built it. I'm, like, spacing on his name.
Is the robot called the Thrustinator?
Yeah. No, I think he's probably commercializing okay. it under that name, you know. I think it's called the Maglev. That's what he developed it as. And it operates with magnetism. It's a magnet. Magnetic levitation device.
Is it really called the Maglev, or were you just like
it's really
sarcastically referring to Pittsburgh's gigantic multi-billion-dollar boondoggle to build a Maglev to the
Oh, really?
Airport?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, one of the five finalist sites or something.
Yeah. But no, that's really weird.
The topic of sex on the putative Maglev train is one that we've got open for future show.
Right. Maybe we can bring in some experts from Morgantown, you know, talk about monorail sex.
But I guess I have to interrupt you because it's my nature and ask, like, the reason it's so handy for us to have all this fantastically sensitive skin receptors is because, you know, we can rub our hand over, like, some, like, pouty college freshman's ass, and it feels, like very sensual and sexy. But does the computer really need – I mean, the computer's not going to actually get pleasure qua pleasure from doing the same to us. So does it really need this ultra-fine resolution, or does it just need to, like, not be able to crush us like an eggshell?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on how you want to use the haptics, too. Like – one scenario that I'm thinking of right now is if you want to support like telesex, I guess.
Teledildonics, I believe.
I guess the technical term for it now. But what I would kind of think you'd want to be able to do is have somebody be able to kind of image themselves very well and have that rendered on the opposite side. With a high level of detail, and then I would think that you'd want to be able to, on the receiver's end, be able to kind of sense a surface and affect the same kind of distortions of surface on the opposite, on the receiving end. So
the scenario you're painting now is that, for example, DJ Corey has some giant butt-shaped sensor on his desk. He can rub it over smoothly, and those sensations are transmitted to the college freshman who's at the frat as we speak and doesn't have to actually be in his...
And he's sitting in some kind of butt-shaped receptacle.
Okay. So I'd heard some, you know, VR talking head pundit like Jaron Lanier or some other yammer boy, like once say, like, oh, the bandwidth of sex is 100 megabits a second. So do you think that's particularly high? Do you think that's particularly low? Do you think that's particularly absurd?
100 megabits.
To put that in perspective, what does that compare to, like, the bandwidth of a LAN or a broadband connection?
Oh, I have no idea. It depends. I mean, that's a lot. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what question you're asking.
No, I'm asking, like, is that 100 times that of a 56K modem?
Oh.
That's 10,000 times that of a 56K modem?
Yeah. You can just do the math yourself. I mean, it's 100 million divided by 56,000, which is, like, what is that?
200?
200? Is that right?
20,000? I don't know. Do the math yourself, math boy. It's a lot. It's like at your business, the rate at which computers talk to each other.
Okay, so it's like a LAN, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Sorry.
Thanks for derailing the
100,000 divided by 56.
So, I mean,
it's
but
like
your question
2000.
Is what's
2000 times 5?
So I once heard like somebody say this kind of in a flippant way, just as in computer graphics they say 60 million polygons is reality. That is, if you can render 60 million polygons at somebody's field of view, that's indistinguishable from reality.
Right,
that's
right.
Kind of how finely our retina can see things. Do you think that's wildly underestimating how much information will really have to be transmitted?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I guess that, this sort of addresses some of the things that maybe Allison does too, is that my feeling is that, well, you know, a sexual experience, it's not, it's a it operates on many different levels, you know? So, like, basically being able to feel all the kind of, like, little, you know, moles and everything that might exist on your, like, college freshman's bottom, right, doesn't probably really...
I think there are moles in my...
They would probably be retouched out of the rendered model.
The Downy, you're referring to the Downy fuzz that's just barely present on his ass back.
Well, that's, I mean, that's a select... Like, I mean, you're actually, in saying that, you're kind of prioritizing your experience in some way. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, there may be certain things that are more important to, you know, to convey on, you know, one side of the interaction that really relate to kind of the environment of sex. So an erotic environment, and those things may be relate to more kind of interpersonal issues that, you know, that Allison kind of works on in her kind of research.
So the other point that DJ Corey raised was that of actuation versus perception, right? So you were talking about one of the things that we need to work on is getting robots to sort of perceive at the level of granularity that humans perceive. But the other question, as you know, as we've discussed before, is not having the robot crush you like a small bird.
Yeah, and similarly, like how much resolution, how much kind of flexibility and actuation needs. As any, you know, as every high school boy who's humped a piece of warm liver, and who hasn't, knows that, like, as a man, your sexual partner doesn't have to move a whole lot to give you pleasure.
I believe today's high school students have switched over to pie, thanks to the literal
true,
example
true,
of
it could
pie.
Be.
So what you're pointing at is that... that certain kinds of encounters actually may be safer than others.
Certainly the robot crushing you like an insect and storming through the wall of your house is a less safe sexual encounter than most people want.
No, but we're asking. So this is the following question. So, you know, can a robot deliver, you know, the gentle caress, you know, of a loving sexual partner, or is it, you know, doomed to sort of choppy karate-like motion?
Well, at least with the device that I'm working with right now, I think the problem with it really is that you have a real limited window into the haptic world. Basically, the device I'm working with now, it images a hemisphere. Mm-hmm. It can image cubes, three-dimensional objects in this mm-hmm. hemispherical space. But the ability that you have to perceive that those objects is really limited. It's the interface you get to it is basically through a finger thimble.
Okay.
And that's kind of it. So it can't actuate a lot of force, but it can do it with a pretty reasonable level of detail.
For our listeners who've never used one of these things, what it is, it's basically a single point that the tip of your finger is getting feedback on, right? So you kind of scrub your finger over this object, and you can feel its general outline as if you were wearing very thick gloves, except for one little tiny hole, which you could feel.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so, I mean, that itself points the way, because if you had a device like that, you know, could be gentle mm-hmm. or firm, and you could somehow wrap the sensations around your
appropriate,
or, you know, inside, you know, or wherever you wanted to wrap it. I'm not going to be judgmental here. Then that's, you know, that's at least in the same, you know, state as what we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm.
This device, unfortunately, periodically slides and jerks, though, which may...
Bug or feature.
Yeah. I think that's the Windows...
Okay, so you think that's software?
That thought is not going to comfort the man whose penis is now severed from his body, dripping blood on the floor,
or who's just kind of had his buzz killed, probably more than anything else.
Indeed. So when you say jerk, are we talking like railroad tie out of the ground?
No, more just kind of like, oh, that was unpleasant or disturbing. And then the slide,
it sort of reinitializes itself back
yeah,
in the rendering.
And you
it
get
sort
this
of falls out
this,
of the
this moment where you, you know, the curtain sort of falls down.
Oh, okay.
So I could see how you're sort of lost in your internal fantasy land, and the thing slides, and then it's kind of all over for
but
a while.
But doesn't that happen in life, too?
Well, sure.
Yeah. But I think that's really important to make, you know, if we're trying to make the next generation of robotic sex toys, they are something that, like, you, they should degrade gracefully. I think there should be no, like, sort of, like...
Now, you don't mean degrade the other person.
Well, no, because you don't want that kind of degradation to be graceful. So, well, this is an obvious segue into talking about the social aspects of robotics, because, for example, in our little world where we had some sex robot that accidentally screwed up and jerked you around, like, I mean, you can imagine some sort of social contextualizing, like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm epileptic, I had a brief seizure, carry on, or some other way of explaining the mistake in a format that didn't desexualize everything, right? Although I suppose an epileptic seizure is desexualizing no matter how you spin it.
For most.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are websites out there that would contradict you, but...
True. So, Smith, why don't you talk about sort of, do we have robots that can do that now? Like, as far as social interaction with humans, what can they do?
What's the state of the art?
The state of the art actually is not very advanced. Like, most of the robots that people have been focusing on social interaction has focused primarily on facial expression as the primary way of, like, displaying affect to the user and on the sensing side and getting information from people. At least with robots, it's been very primitive. There are more advanced methods in sort of the vision community where they're recognizing affect through facial expressions.
Isn't a big part of that because the vast majority of robots are non-humanoid? I mean, they're basically rolling pedestals.
Yeah.
So you don't have anything to relate to other than the fake little head on top of the robot.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I think one thing that's interesting is, and probably also relevant to the design of sex toys, is that people strongly attempt to anthropomorphize anything that sort of like moves autonomously in their environment. They want to sort of see it as an entity and attribute human-like characteristics to it. So it's something that you could potentially leverage in making, you know, that's why there's a certain element of design where you don't have to go all the way with smarts, and you can just make something that people can easily apply these metaphors to about what they think people are like, and having sort of a familiar interface.
It seems like as a shortcut to like getting the software exactly right, would you condone using like convicted criminals on death row using their brains to control your sex devices?
I'm sorry. I'm involved in a little game of charades over here.
Are you setting up a meeting for later?
I'm not sure if really a convicted criminal would be exactly like the correct driving mechanism for your next generation of, like, you know, loving, gentle, situationally aware sex toys.
Are you planning, like, some kind of, you know, RoboCop 2-like scenario?
That's exactly what he's planning.
Well, clearly in that movie they had the motivating drug nuke to feed to the criminal's brain to keep it under control. What would you give the criminal's brains in your sex fantasy bot?
Viagra.
Okay.
Orgasms.
Interesting.
They can get those in prison, though. What do they, you know?
I mean, you know, I don't think it's so far-fetched. I mean, there's certainly a lot of women, I guess it's mostly women, who write to prisoners and, you know, have, like, love affairs, send them money. They can get married in prison. I guess mostly because most prisoners are male and most of their
corresponding Jeffrey Dahmer, well, man, an avowed, you know, man-eating homosexual, had many female suitors, actually.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, wow.
I also think that you could use something like these robotic sex toys or teleoperated sex toys to actually just create a massively parallel whore, so that you have one prostitute who's adding that human touch where the robot interface fails to all of these devices. So now
she's sitting in a room somewhere, wired up, acting out.
And I pay just a little bit of you know, like my cable bill kind of sized price for some pay-per-view, but it's like pay per sex, and there are like 100 guys or whatevers, and we're being all sort of managed by this one person who's...
Although that runs into a difficult, you know, that runs into a potential problem, because, for example, if, you know, say 10% of the men have done their business, right, and the woman keeps working it, you know, those 10% are going to be unhappy, you know.
Well, in theory, you just sort of change the channel, right? You self-select out, like you go to, like, the massage channel at that stage.
You know, potentially, although it butts up about a basic fact, which is that, you know, the woman's going to have essentially sort of, you know, four limbs and a head to control, right? And you know, if you want to control 100 robots, right, it's only going to work if the men are essentially all in roughly the same
situation. Yeah, I think you lack the vision to really appreciate. I'm thinking like, you know, a 50s-style telephone switchboard operator.
Exactly.
I mean, they had a lot of leverage there, you know, managing hundreds of calls every minute.
So you're not actually committing some sort of sex act, and that's being propagated onto the masses. Okay. You're just turning dials.
Let's face it, it's like sex with a man involves a lot of repetitive motion. And so you be like, you know,
so at some point, you can just have a central pattern generator that you turn on to like the...
Start the bobbing head and then do something else for 10 seconds. Yeah. It's time sharing. A concept that I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Which I think is well suited to prostitution.
Back to the idea of social interaction. Again, just like with haptic interfaces, there's issues of perception and actuation, right? So it's one thing to be a robot and come up and sort of convincingly portray an emotional state, right? Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting question, probably a more interesting question actually, to perceive the emotional state of human beings, right? So one can imagine, I don't know if research like this happens, but you know, you have a robot that's essentially a camera and it zips around a party. And it looks, you know, it can detect the women that are giving the robot the eye, you know, not the stink eye, the good eye, and try to figure out which of the sort of partners of the appropriate gender and orientation are sort of willing, you know, are receptive to the robot's advances, right? Because that sort of stuff gets funded.
I'm working on something slightly analogous to that currently, which is just basically looking at on a much sort of like more primitive level of like, whether people are interested in interacting with the robot or not. Though I haven't taken it to the level of trying to, like, you know, distinguish between this interest in maybe sort of, like, sexual attraction, whether people have the hots for a robot.
Although that is
a
key first step, right?
And
how does it work?
So far, the results look promising. Basically, I'm trying to look at – this is in a, you know, a larger space, and I'm basically looking at characteristics of people's trajectories in trying to predict from the way that they're walking past my robot in this space whether they'll be receptive to my robot's advances.
Similar to how, like, the, you know, streetwalkers of yore determine if somebody's interested.
Yep.
You know, if you tarry and offer her a pint of ale, then, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So maybe, I mean, this could be the groundwork for a robot prostitute, really.
Thanks. Sorry. It's a little inside robot joke.
Yeah.
Just to change the subject, sorry, somewhat radically. I mean, am I allowed, or do you have follow-up questions?
Actually, before you change that, I'm just going to say, you know, our listeners are probably so pathetic that they don't realize that we have, like, world experts in this field, in the city right now. So if you want to take advantage of this, please call us at the studio, 412-621-9728. It's, you know, you have 20 minutes before you return.
This is probably literally the best chance the world has ever seen for you to call in to talk to robotics experts and sex experts all at once about the future of robotics sex.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, there are times that come in a lonely, masturbating man's life when he can change his own future, and this is one of those times.
Haven't we talked enough masturbating men on the show?
So,
actually, and if there are any, you know, entrepreneurs, anyone with some VC, maybe want to talk to,
yeah,
you know, some roboticists.
A little money, a little vision.
Yeah.
So I still have a barrel full of monkeys and questions, but I'll defer.
So, this was something we'd alluded to earlier, or had alluded to. But it's a general question of, so do people want, you know, active, affective sex bonds? I mean, do people want a fully human, automated, real doll who blinks and moans and wiggles her booty at you? I mean, in some sense, the technology to do that has been around with us for years, if not centuries. Like, one could think of, and I'm kind of blue skying here, like some kind of elaborate marionette, right, that you hook strings up to yourself or whatever, and you can pull the strings and have your sex doll move underneath you as you hump it. But people are not doing this, right? People, men prefer their hand, men prefer, you know, rubbery torsos. And if we look at the sex toys that women use, like...
Rubbery?
I don't know.
Well, I think real dolls are rubbery, even though I know.
Well, right. If we look at the sex toys that women use, they're very, very kind of dehumanized. In fact, there's an article in this design magazine a few months ago. The cover story was about vibrators. And, in fact, they show, like, these highly art-designed vibrators that were basically just looked like, you know, slim chrome pencils or, like, smooth, you know, multicolored, like, eye dildos, kind of translucent plastic and so forth. So I put it to you, maybe that the human form is not what the lonely person in search of a a quick money shot is after. Maybe that would only make them more lonely. Maybe that would only make them more sad. Maybe what they want is the robotic equivalent of a hand or a sculpted vibrator.
This isn't really an answer to that question, but I just know that the God of Irony is going to decree that when aliens come and become our overlords, they're going to take the form of dildos. Be too appropriate. No, it's an interesting contrast because men's sex toys, while sort of not, I mean, the blow-up doll is the classic one, but there are lots of other things that attempt to mimic specific bits of human anatomy. While they're not really like, perfect replicants of other people, they're at least an attempt to be literally anatomically correct for the appropriate era. Whereas that's an interesting point with women's sex toys, right? Women who conventionally are much more into other people as opposed to just the raw mechanics of sex, according to conventional wisdom, are, these sort of like sleek, almost techno-fetishized
like spaceships for your crotch.
Yeah.
How many units are sold, though, per gender?
Actually, this I can't remember the exact numbers, but this ID magazine article mentioned women sex toys for women. Like, I can't remember the numbers, like I said, but it's like one or two orders of magnitude more are sold than for men.
Yeah.
Like, the sex toy market is huge for, well, comparatively huge for women.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I believe the pornography industry is sort of larger for men, so that's where maybe the sex dollar goes for the average Joe as opposed to the average.
But so
it's all about pictures.
So what do you two experts think of this? Do you think the future of sex is automated real dolls, or do you think the future of sex is strange Rube Goldberg like gizmos that we attach to our genitals and plug in?
I really think it could go either way. I think there's a place for both in future sex.
Well, write me a little science fiction story here. What do you personally think? What do you think?
I mean, I guess when I look at the all the humanoid robots that I've seen as of yet. Are kind of either they might be kind of cute, maybe, or they're kind of small. I guess a lot of what I've seen haven't been like efforts to kind of model people as they really, really are.
But so when you say cute, do you mean Alyssa Milano cute or like small
tweaky
like
puppy
small.
Cute?
Okay. Yeah, small. Yeah.
Well, certainly there's this. There's a whole Usenet news group and whole like websites and so forth devoted towards the sexualization of humanoid robots, right? All sex fetish robots. And so there's some people who find the idea of a totally mechanized, pliant, willing and smooth, humanoid robot incredibly sexy.
Well, that carries with it tremendous psychic overtones of S&M activity as well.
Absolutely,
right? Because
yeah.
Again, at some level in some kinds of S&M, right, that you really want to sort of roboticize and dehumanize your partner.
Right. Pony play, as we were talking about at the Black Rose S&M Festival.
Although I get the impression that pony play, really, like the animal metaphor, the like spunkiness that had to be like beaten down, that was sort of part of it.
Well, right?
You would know better than us, DJ Corey.
Virginia Vitsum's quote about it, or she was quoting somebody else, was that, it's the ultimate in dehumanizing sex play. So they were after it for its dehumanizing aspect, anyway.
I guess to address the humanoid issue, I'd think that that an obstacle to making, like you said, an animatronic real doll is that as something approaches physically, like that the appearance of a human, that you have a higher expectation of the reality, of the appropriateness of the behavior, and that it would be much easier to have something go wrong in your design.
So you're saying
something like that. Like, I think it would be much easier to actually to make a simpler, sort of more sex toy than
so
rather to go whole hog.
I
think that would be it.
If we had some robot and we could turn the reality knob up on that robot from C-3PO all the way up to almost human, you're saying it goes better. Holy crap, that's freaky and Frankenstein, disturbing.
Yeah.
Get it away.
Yeah.
At some point, as it gets more realistic.
Yeah, and tolerance. I think that there's...
What?
I'm sorry, what?
Your tolerance, becomes, finer and finer. You can't move. You have to be very accurate, right, as you go up toward being a human.
I mean, this is a problem in computer animation, that people judge the motion of stick figures to be much better than the same motion mapped onto very realistic humanoid figures.
Mm-hmm. And there's an interesting, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking that this is sort of like an interesting design issue for a sex toy as opposed to like the general socially interactive robot, because it's pretty okay in the approach that most people are taking in sort of designing robots to interact with people, to do something that's a character that's sort of a limited level of like of humanoidness, that it's sort of, it looks cartoonish or in some way not entirely human, and it's questionable. I'm not sure how you would translate that into making, like, a sex toy. If there's this middle ground between the vibrator and the real doll, and if people would accept something like that and have sex with it.
Although, intriguingly, people don't seem to find the real doll creepy. It seems to have been a big hit and not sort of...
I don't know.
I did some research, actually, for memepool.com. Yeah. That's memepool.com. On, like, this article on real dolls and their owners who love them. And, you know, there's a fair number of web pages out there that people have made for their real dolls. Mm-hmm. Like, usually with the fantasy that, the real dolls made it themselves, including, amusingly, a real doll cam, which is just a web camera pointed at a totally unmoving static real doll sitting in a chair somewhere.
Does somebody poke it with a stick every once in a while?
No, I didn't spend many hours, well, a few dozen, but like, looking at it, but it never seemed to move. But
want you to think.
I wouldn't be putting too fine a point on it to say that the...
Oh, sorry, we have a phone call, but finish your point.
Really?
Yeah.
Never mind. No. The callers always come first.
Is that still true?
Do we have a caller? Is the caller in the air?
Yes, I'm here.
We can't hear anything, though.
I'm here. Hello.
Can you hang on for a moment while our producer turns up the volume?
Hello.
A little bit lower.
Wrong one.
Okay, sorry. We're having some technical problems, but we're so thrilled that you called.
We can hear you barely.
Okay, I just got a quick question for the panel, and it's I'm not trying to bounce this over as a moral issue, because I'm really all for what you guys are doing. On a criminal level... On a criminal... Are you there? Hello?
Yes, sorry.
On a criminal level, though, wouldn't you find, like, if what you guys are proposing were to happen, then they would have children sex dolls, and would it actually be cheating if you went to visit one of these robots?
Intriguing questions,
well, both.
So that's all I really wanted to ask, and just throw that out to you guys and see what you say about that.
The children's sex doll, there's actually sort of a legal precedent being discussed right now about child pornography.
Yeah.
Or more discussed.
I'm totally against child pornography. I don't think this is...
Just let me finish for a second. So the point being that now it's possible to synthesize images of child pornography. The original logic banning child pornography is that it hurts children and exploits
them.
Yes,
absolutely.
However, if, images can be constructed with the involvement of... without the involvement of children, in any level whatsoever, is that still a bad thing?
Exactly. That's the question I'm asking, and I'm taking it a step further. It's like with these robots,
excuse me, caller. I apologize, but I'd like to finish what I was saying.
Okay, go ahead.
And the courts have clearly come on down the side that, yes, it still is wrong, although I haven't read any of the actual decisions. And so one could hardly imagine that a different stance would be taken towards actual sex robots.
Yeah, okay. Now, the other part of the question then, would it actually be cheating then if you were, like, married and you went to visit one?
So I think that would depend entirely upon your partner.
Well, we already have that. I mean, that's like, I mean...
Swingers?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know. This seems like it's a loophole in the marriage contract.
Well, it's intriguing because I think it would...
I mean, is masturbation forbidden?
Right. You're not involving anybody else, so it should be okay.
Well, it'll be one of the... So this is what's going to happen, right? Right now, masturbation or sex with the vibrator is clearly not cheating. As sort of sex toys grow more and more autonomous and have more and more intention of their own, it's going to feel more and more like cheating without any sort of clear barrier necessarily until there's some classic episode of Friends or whatever passes for Friends in the 21st century that sort of humorously settles the question once and for all. So that's the kind of question there is no firm answer to.
Okay.
No. Well, is that an EMP attack?
I think it's kind of interesting, actually, because, I mean, there is kind of a spectrum. Like, some couples actually do, like, the woman does consider it cheating if her man masturbates because that's an orgasm that he could have had with her.
And I've had male friends who felt, like, the gamut of emotions from insecure to, like, painfully hurt that their girlfriends occasionally used a vibrator.
And you can always imagine that intensified when the vibrator is, 6'8", 200 pounds, built like a piece of rebar.
But I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of touching show on the Lifetime Channel about some woman, say, who gets some kind of terrible disease and dies, but has a replica made of herself that her husband can then have sex with after she's gone. I think there's a positive.
I think there is.
This cloud has a silver lining.
We should run this by Oprah.
So, caller, have we answered your questions?
I think we lost the caller.
Yep.
But I think that both of those questions are interesting, like the child sex bot in particular. Right. Because as you said, like, there are legal decisions that say any depiction of sex even if it just looks like children,
yeah.
even if the model is a 25-year-old shaved midget, like it still is considered child pornography. A classic kind of thought experiment being, what if I took a picture of myself as a child and myself as an adult and photoshopped it together to look like I was having sex with myself as a child? Now, clearly there were no children exploited during this because I am that child and I was not exploited and I do not feel exploited. However, still an illegal picture.
Yeah.
So your I don't know, your hopes for a Haley Joel Osment, like, sex bot should be kept quiet.
Why am I always painted with the pedophile brush? I tell you. College, well, sophomore, varsity swim team members, that's what I go for. They're easily 18, 19.
Fair enough.
Freshmen.
Fair enough.
I mean, like, Anakin Skywalker does nothing.
I shouldn't have waved in your general. I meant, like, you in the most general sense.
You looked at me, and then you activated your
I can't keep my eyes off you. You know that.
Haptic
so, you know, we've aired the show's dirty laundry in there long enough. I'd like to get back to the idea of what the sort of, perhaps the new affordances that sex robots will have. So, for example, look at humans. We're limited by, you know, we're limited by what we can do. We only have a couple of arms, you know. Our arms can only take so much pressure before snapping like twigs, right? Oh. Robots don't necessarily suffer that limitation, right? As we talked about robots evolving in ways that aren't human, one can easily imagine some sort of, like, octopoidal 30-armed thing that just straps onto your crotch and manages to, you know, probe, infiltrate, and actuate, you know, every, you know, nerves you didn't even know that you
right.
had, you know, not just the G-spot, but the H-spot, the I-spot, and maybe the J-spot.
As with so much else, of course, the Japanese have long ago pioneered this area with, like, classic tentacle porn, right, where multi-tentacled creatures attack schoolgirls, like, invading and ultimately pleasuring every orifice one could imagine in some that were specially created for the purpose. I'm not making this up, folks.
Yeah.
So is this the robot sexual dystopia that
lesbians? Being empowering to women, though.
No, that's true.
But, you know, just as, you know, the gay activists have taken the, you know, the word queer and made it their own.
Right.
You know,
so too could a group of
tentacle.
Yeah, so too could a group of women roboticists take back tentacle porn for themselves.
Exactly.
So, but clearly there must be some things about potential robot technology that would, you know, that would transcend human capabilities, right? Mm-hmm. And the obvious things of, like, you know, the ability to crack our heads open like eggshells, which may not be quite what we want. What sorts of things do you see happening?
Well, I guess I'm thinking right now that you're going to be fundamentally limited by the amount of stimulation that you can possibly, I mean, there's a limit to what.
True, there's a limit to how much humans can sense and endure and.
Right.
But boy, would we like to.
But have we reached that limit? I guess that's.
Actually,
the
you know, I mean, yeah. Well, what I could see is one of the things that we're working on in the lab is this sensory transfer system, and the sensory transfer system, the intention is to restore force feedback in the force feedback that people have lost as mm-hmm. a result of, like, diabetes or something. So the idea is that there'll be, like, force sensors. Placed on the hand of somebody who maybe doesn't get sensation from their hand, and that's going to be transferred to the face. And the reason that we're looking to use that mapping is because those are really close in the sensory cortex. So mm-hmm. when you're, like, hurt, you can actually kind of, your brain can, you know, be remapped to a certain degree. So I guess what I'm proposing or what I'm saying is that it may be the case that you can increase the amount of inputs that, you know, that a human being has by leveraging, like, maybe you don't need sensation in your feet so much or something. So maybe you could theoretically kind of think of a situation in which you can leverage the sensors that exist in you that you don't use that much.
So remap all your nerve endings to your genitals.
Exactly.
Or more conveniently, to the end of your pinky, right? Because then you don't have to disrobe.
That's true.
Well, this brings up another possibility which we haven't addressed at all, which is using technologies in an assistive manner to sort of restore sexual functionality to people through injuries may
I think
have
the topic
lost
has it. Too much dignity for us, actually.
I know, I agree. That's why I'm mentioning it in passing in 30 seconds with 4 minutes left. But the idea of robot sensing fascinates me. Like, let's say we have a sex bot. Like, you know, is there some robot telepathy in the horizon? Is there some, like, could they touch us and tell that, you know, that we wanted in particular, like, it from behind instead of in the front on that night? Or
I'm not sure if we could recognize something that fine-grained, but there are very simple sensors that are, like, that you can use to recognize affect when you actually touch something. Like, I know that at the Media Lab, they've worked on a smart mouse, which can sort of, like, measure your stress level through skin resistance.
Mm-hmm. And of course,
you can see that being an easy addition that could be made to, like, many sex toys.
And of course, the perhaps
would be a big win.
Prophetically named squids could be used the semiconducting quantum interference devices.
I was thinking of tentacle.
Exactly.
Wait, are those real? Yes, those from real.
My dad does research in them. Actually.
Okay. Because didn't those appear in Strange Days in the James Cameron produced movie?
Well, yeah. So what a squid really is, it's basically a it's a sensor that senses extremely tiny electrical and magnetic fields.
Okay.
So the idea being not only can they sense, but they can influence. So you wrap a squid around your head, and it can manipulate your brain like a puppeteer manipulates Pinocchio.
You could just wear a suit.
Well, perhaps. Although, again, we get back to this problem that Sonny and Smuve have been mentioning, that like it's very difficult to get the haptic feedback, the haptic interface, if you're wearing a suit. It might be easier just to like cut your head off, plug an RS-232 cable into your spinal cord, and go to town.
So I have a question, and this comes in multiple parts, so bear with me. I mean, so if you're going to build, like, this robot, presumably the better it is, it's going to be the more sensitive it's going to be, right? It's going to be sensing what you need, and then it's going to provide it, right? And it's going to have all these attributes we've talked about. But what happens if you build, like, the male robot and the female robot, and what they find is that they're best suited when having sex with each other? They eliminate the human from the equation. I mean, aren't you just leading yet another path to the eventual robot holocaust?
All paths lead to the robot holocaust.
Yeah, it's inevitable. But I think that,
the only thing we can hope
for, pains need to be taken with building sex robots to eliminate the free will. I think clearly that, like, yes, will is, like, there's no place for that in,
or you could just set up repulsive fields around the sex robots so that they can't collaborate.
But that sets up a love serve itself as the robots battle to overcome the repulsive field. Consummate a love that humans could never understand.
Some Romeo and Juliet-like, exactly, robot tragedy. I think since all roads lead to the robot holocaust, the best we can hope for is to make a good name for ourselves now, so when the robots do take over, we'll be given some pet-like elevated position, not be forced to labor in the mines.
We only have about 30 seconds left, and so I guess we can sum up the show. Sex robots, inevitable robot holocaust. Do you guys have anything to add to that? You who are helping to bring it along.
Tentacles.
Yeah, I really think that tentacles are going to be the big win.
We didn't even talk about the suit of the 1,000 penises, which I tend to like put my life savings into. But
that's a fixture on the show, by the way.
I mean, it seems
the
like
the idea is.
Yeah.
It fits well into
okay,
what kind of sensing
no
capabilities would this suit have? I mean, are they just 1,000 dumb penises, or is there some sort of like?
Well, I think this fits in perfectly with their research because on one hand, you can focus on getting the penis, the sort of prehensile penis, to work really well, and then you just mass produce them and like network them on the same little body armor thing, and then they can all just kind of, undulate.
So. Perhaps we should leave on that.
I have nothing to add.
Would you like to take us out, DJ Corey?
Well, I should tell our listeners that this is WRCT Pittsburgh. And by the way, we've got the haptic researchers here doing their thing. That's very important. But I think someone else should be working on time travel in case we have to prevent the robot holocaust before it happens.
Right. So if any cyborg assassins come through the door in the next few minutes, I'll know that I was destined not to finish my PhD anyway. This is WRCT.
Did I say that right?
No.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you all for listening. Tune in next week. And good